Certainly, it's a blessing for us to be here this morning for no other purpose but to worship God in spirit and in truth. And again, we're grateful for the brethren here at Edge Hill for allowing me to come back to share with you a portion of what God has blessed me with and what He has put on my heart. It's been a couple of months since we've been here. Good to be back on this time, on this side of Virginia. Hopefully it won't be my last time. We are grateful, getting ready to start back. School this summer has come to a very quick end. Seems like we just got on our summer break. If you don't mind, I want to do just one verse of a song. This song number 985, When Morning Comes. We all go through things in life, and sometimes we don't understand why. But the songwriter said we'll understand it better by and by. We have a letter, 985, we have a letter saying, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we will understand it better by and by. We're singing by and by, oh, when the morning comes. And that's when all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Amen. Amen. If you have your copy of God's Word, meet me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse number, we're looking at verses 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3, and verse number 4. I want to thank the brethren who have participated in our worship service thus far for the singing, the scripture reading, the prayer, the communion, and the offering. We thank God for you and pray God's richest blessings upon you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us all in all, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And for a few moments this morning, I want to talk from the topic, finding comfort in times like these. Finding comfort in times like these. Church, we talked this morning about patience, having patience, and being able to deal with things, deal with various trials and tribulations in our life. And at times, we need comfort. We need to be comforted. As a child, my mother and my grandmother would comfort me when I was unhappy. You know, I was crying, even as a baby, you know, in adolescence, they would do things to make me happy. Sometimes they would sing. Sometimes they would just hold me and rock me in their arms. But I was comforted. And we at times need to be comforted, even as adults in life, because of everything that's going on in the world and even the things that's going on in our lives, we need comfort. But how do we get our comfort? Where do we find that comfort? And that's what we're going to look at this morning, because there are people in the world and even in the church that don't know how to find comfort. Some people turn to the bottle. Some people roll up those funny looking cigarettes. They pop pills. They do all kind of things to find comfort. And they may find comfort, but it's not everlasting comfort. Because when they come off that high, when that bottle is empty, that problem is faced right there. It's still waiting on them. But one thing about the comfort that God gives is everlasting. And we may still be going through whatever it is we're going through, but we have God on our side, and who we have God with us, and he'll give us the strength to be able to go through whatever it is we're dealing with, and that should bring us comfort. So, again, we're going to look at Romans 12 and verse number 10 a little bit later. But finding comfort in times like these. Let's first define what comfort is. Comfort means to give strength and hope to, or to cheer. To ease the grief or trouble of, or to console. Comfort is a strengthening aid. Comfort is consolation in times of trouble or worry. It's a feeling of relief or encouragement. Have you ever been going through something and then you pray to God, God leads you through it, and you be like, man, I'm so glad that's over. Thank God that's over. That's what it means to have a feeling of relief or encouragement. And not only that, we can encourage ourselves by going to God's word, knowing that God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. You know, we don't have to worry about going through things. And then there are synonyms, words that have a similar meaning to comfort. Means one is being assured, to reassure, and then to soothe. What one thing can we be sure of? That God is always there. The problem is we leave God. We try to fix things ourselves. And, you know, Lord willing, in September I'll be 45. And I learned, and I'm still learning sometimes, that when I try to do things on my own, I get deeper and deeper. But I should have let God deal with it in the first place. God can handle any situation way better than I can. God is active, in his active presence in a time of trouble. Number one, go with me to Psalms chapter 46. God is our refuge. You know, I mentioned earlier how people go to find any and everything to try to get comfort. But the only comfort we can really have is from God and his word. Psalms 46 and verse number 1. Psalms 46 verse number 1 says that God is a very present help. A very present help. He's our refuge and our strength, and a very present help. You know, I think I mentioned in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Psalms 121, verse 1 and verse 2, that we lift up our eyes to the hills, from which come about our help is going to come from God. You know, brothers, our brothers and our sisters in the church, or even some of our family members may be able to help us some of the time. But there are times where they won't be able to help us. No, we're going to need somebody that we can always depend on. You know, we may have good intentions on helping, but things come up. You know, I may end up having a lot of school work to do, papers to write, and I may not be able to help you like I want to help you. Or something may prevent us from helping Brother Jerry. Sometimes, you know, you have good intentions on doing something, but then something happens unexpectedly and we're not able to. But God is always there. The Bible teaches us that he never sleeps, nor does he slumber. So God is he's our refuge. He's our strength. And the Bible says that he's a very present help in trouble. Look at verse number 2. Verse 2 says, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. It can seem like the whole world around us is going crazy, like it's in chaos. Everything seems to be out of control, and people are doing what they want to do. They have no concern, no thought about God. Nothing is going on, but God is right. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear. Because number one, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. He's given us what? Power, love, and a sound mind. And as long as we have a sound mind, we can go to God's word and find strength and find comfort, knowing that he cares for us. Number two, God offers us strength and upholding care. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 1 through verse number 10. Isaiah 41, verses 1 through verse number 10. The Bible says here, flip over to Isaiah 40. Let's read Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, 1 through 10. But now, thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Though the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight. Let's stop right there. God said that we are precious in his sight. He is concerned about us. He cares about us. But even though we're going through storms and trials and tribulations in our life, we don't have to worry because he is right there. God cares about us. And then if we keep reading down in verse number, Isaiah 43, in verse number 10, verse number 7 rather, it says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. God wants us, he wants to get glory through us for him, not for us. A lot of times we want people to lift us up, we want people to glorify us. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I know that he, you know, I'm nothing but a vessel used by God, allowing God to empty me and fill me with him. Fill me with his word, fill me with his love, fill me with his power. Because I can't do it on my own. You know, not only that, but God is there. Even in our darkest hours in our life. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 23. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, but my favorite verse is, yea, though I walk through the valley. Listen now, he said, yea, though I walk through. Meaning that I may have to go through some things. I may have to crawl, I may have to cry, whatever it is, but I'm going to go through the valley. Why? Because thou art with me. His rod, his staff, they comfort me. I don't have to worry about what's going on. I can go to bed at night, close my eyes, and rest because I know I'm in his hand. In church, we can do the same thing. I know we're concerned. We have problems, and we want everything to be fixed. But it may not be fixed right here while we're still here on earth. We may be dead and gone, and then God works it out. But it's not for our purpose, for our glory. It's for him to get the glory. For people to come to him and say, hey, look, he's been going through this. She's been dealing with that. But God has brought them through. And if he can do the same thing, what he'll do for me, he'll do for you. You know, all we have to do is trust him. Believe him. And then the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 18, that God draws near to those who are broken. You know, anybody in here been broken? You know, somebody in here might be broken right now. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I know that God is able. He said that he is near to those who are broken and of a contrite heart, meaning that we have to acknowledge that I need him, that we all need him, that we can't do anything without. The Bible says it's in him that we live, we move, and have our being. God gives us the ability, the strength to do what we're doing, and even to go through storms in our life. It's God that gives us strength. I'm not strong enough, man. If y'all knew some of the half of the things that I've gone through within the 3-4 months that I've been in school, and then dealing with the work that we have to do, and yet I'm still here? Nobody but God. I dare not take the credit for it. God gave me the strength to be able to do this, to get through it. You know, it's not because of me. I don't care how strong we think we are.
or how good we think we are. The Bible says, on our best days, our righteousness is still as filthy rags before God. And we need to understand, humble ourselves. You know, we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. It is one thing, it bothers me when I see brothers who call themselves preachers of the gospel, but they would walk around with their chest puffed out because they have a doctor's degree or a bachelor's degree. So what? It's just a piece of paper. If you don't have love for God, love for his word, and love for God's people, it don't mean a thing. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Paul said, I can do all these good deeds, give my body to be burned. I can do all these things. But if I do not have love, it does not mean a thing. And guess what, church? Y'all may not know it, but this is true. The congregation knows those who love, who really love and who are really sincere about what they're doing versus those who are up just for a show. Because eventually what's in you is going to come out. The real you is going to stand up sooner or later because you're going to get tired of pretending, tired of trying to put on a front when it's so much easier to, just to be honest about it. You know, the real person going to really gonna show when the rubber meets the road. They're going to either do one or two things. They're going to either fold and run or they're going to repent and turn around. And I pray that they repent and turn around before it's too late. Then think about this. God's comfort mirrors a mother's care. Think about how a mother cares for her children. A mother would go, she would give her last. She would give her last to do something to help her child. I thank God for my mama. And there's nothing I wouldn't do for her. She can call me right today and say, hey, I need something. I'm not in Memphis, but I guarantee I'm going to make sure she get it. Even if I got to call other people to go take it to her, mama going to get what she wants because guess what? Nobody going to love you the way that mama loves you. And for those whose mother gone, just thank God for what they've instilled in you. You know, those who don't have a mama, God will be a mother for you. He'll be a father for you. You know, it's amazing how God puts everything in place. No human being, just think about how God puts the family together. No human walking earth is that intelligent to do what God can do. People may act like it. They may pretend and think they are. But when the rubber meets the road, they can't. They can't do it. But go with me over to Isaiah 66 in verse number 13. Isaiah 66 in verse number 13, talking about how God is like a mother's love. God's love for us, God's care for us is like a mother's care and love for her children. In verse number 13, Isaiah 66, it says, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God will comfort us in all of our storms, in all of our trials. I don't care how big or how dark the storm may be in your life, the cloud may be in your life. I don't know, you know, but it's coming. You know, if you haven't gone through a storm, if you hadn't had any trials in the dark days, keep living. They come, you know. And why? Because God cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. It didn't say cast the big cares. It didn't say just cast the little cares. Every single care that we have, everything that goes on in our life that causes us to be weary, that causes us to be concerned, give it to God. He cares about it. He wants to know. We sing a song, take your burden to the Lord and leave him there. This is what we need to do. when we pray, leave it at God's feet. Don't pick it up and take it back out the door with you. My grandma used to say, if you're going to pray, don't worry. And if you're going to worry and try to fix it on your own, don't pray. You know, we got to understand that God can handle. Then I like verse number 8, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Meaning that the devil is on his job. He's looking for ways. And that's why it said that word sober means to have a clear thinking, a clear mind, a mindset on God's word. So that we'll be able to fight against the devil. We'll be able to defeat the devil when he comes. But if we don't study the word, we won't know the word. Not only do we need to know it, but we need to live it. And so let's move on to our second outline on this lesson. Comfort is a relational nature. And what that means is that we have the responsibility to comfort one another. Let's go back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses number 4. You know, God comforts us, so we must be willing and comfort others to comfort others the way that God comforts us. Back up to verse number 3. The Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Let's pause right there for just a moment. Look at that word in your Bible. It says comforted, meaning it has an E-T-H on the end. Meaning he doesn't do it just once. Every single time that we need comfort, God is there to comfort us. And we should have that same attitude towards our brothers and sisters and even those who are not members of the body of Christ. That's one way to bring them and draw them to Christ, is to show them that we are concerned about what they're going through. A person don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. And it's not always about going in your pocket and giving them money. It's about whatever situation they be. Maybe they're going through something that we've already come through. And we can tell them what God did for us and let them know that the same God that did it for me, he can do the same thing for you. But you got to believe him. And take it to him and just leave it there. Then those who mourn are comforted. That's one of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses number 4. It said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It didn't say that you might be comforted or you could be. It said you shall be comforted. And let me say this. We may not be comforted when we want to be comforted, but God will comfort us when he feels it's time for us to be comforted. He may want us to keep us in that dark hour and under that cloud for us to learn, number one, patience. Learn how to wait on him. He may want to keep, it may be a lesson for them. The lesson may not even be for us. He may be trying to get somebody else's attention. But we've got to go through, be willing to go through it. We can't just say, man, look, I'm tired of going through all this. Is it even worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. Because if we don't give up, if we don't throw in the towel, the Bible teaches us that there's a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, gives to us. And not to us only, but to all those who love his appearing. We just got to wait. Sometimes we're going to have to go through some things, y'all. We're going to have to put up with some people that don't always treat us the way we want to be treated. Amen? And I love this one. Jesus gives an invitation to those who are weary and burdened to come to him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to bring all our troubles and our burdens to him. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you should find rest unto your soul. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you should be able to find rest unto your soul. You want to find rest? You want to learn how to rest at night
and rest during the day and whenever it is without even worrying. You can lay down on your bed at night and close your eyes after you said your prayer and you giving it to God. And I promise you that you will have a rest like you never had rest before. Knowing that God has got it. That he has it in his hand. And everything will be, even if the situation don't change, he still has us in his hand. Remember the three Hebrew boys and even Daniel in Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 6, how they were thrown, the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace and Daniel was cast into the lion's den. What did the three Hebrew boys say? Even if God does not deliver us, we're still not going to bow down. Then Jesus addresses those with troubled hearts by redirecting their trust in God. Sometimes our faith gets weak. Sometimes our trust gets weak, but Jesus has a way of God has a way of redirecting our trust. Number one, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not some of it, not part of it, not half of it. God wants all of us. And if we don't give him all of us, don't give him none of it. We got to make up our mind that this is what I want to do. I'm going to serve God no matter what I'm going through. I'm going to love him. I'm going to praise him. And I'm going to try my best to bring somebody else along the way and teach him that when I'm going through what I'm going through, God is right there. Because he said, in all your ways that acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. It didn't say that he might. The Bible didn't say that he could. There's a possibility. There's a chance. No, God will direct our path if we trust in him. The problem is we trust in ourselves too much. We trust in other people too much. The preacher may let you down. That's why I tell people, look past me. I may make a mistake sometimes. I told y'all some of the things that happened in Sunday school this morning. But sometimes, you know, it may not be intentional. You may just be in the heat of a moment and you react without thinking. But yet and still, look past the preacher or the leaders and look at God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, the Hebrew writer said, I believe it is in chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We should keep our eyes on Jesus no matter who or what is going on in our life. And then in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, in my Father's house, let not your heart be troubled. Verse number 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to get through to God. He said in John chapter 10, verses 10, 1 through 10, that if any man come any other way, he's a thief and a robber. And think about what happened to thieves and robbers. They're going to either get shot or they're going to go to jail. But in this case, they're going to spend eternity in hell if they don't repent. I don't want to be classified as a thief and robber. Oh. Then our last and final outline of the lesson is peace, if I can get it to move. Peace amid anxiety and worry. There it is. Peace amid anxiety and worry. Again, we need to let God know about what's going on, what we're dealing with. 1 Peter chapter 5, we've already mentioned, but let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and verse number 7. Paul here writing to the church at Philippi tells us in verse number 6. Well, let's go to verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. And that word careful means anxious. Don't worry about anything. Don't let it get you to the point where you stop coming to church. You stop praying. You stop worshiping. You stop serving. Don't let your troubles and trials get you to the point where you just give up. But Paul says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And watch this. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, the peace that God gives, we can't even comprehend how he does it. But we know that he can give us peace. We know that he can calm our weary mind. He can calm our weary soul, because the Bible says that he can. It said that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then verse number 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we have to change our mindset. We have to change the way we think. And, you know, I said earlier how God's comfort is everlasting. God provides everlasting consolation and hope. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and verse number 17. And we have maybe two or three more scriptures, and the lesson will be yours. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16, the Bible says here, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and every good work. God's word, God himself, can comfort us like nobody else and nothing else can. And then we know that all things will work out for good, according to Romans chapter 8. I don't know how. How can this bad turn out for my good? How can what I'm going through be for my good? I don't know. I can't explain. But the Bible says that it works out for our good. And since God said it, I believe it. I don't have to understand how he's going to accomplish that. I don't have to understand how it's going to work out. I just know that he said it. And since he said it, I believe it. And we need to do the same thing, church. We don't always have to, you know, we sung a song just a minute ago. We'll understand it better by and by. Mm-hmm. Just take God into the word. And then when you get to heaven, you can ask, well, God, how did you work that out? How did it turn out for my good? And guess what he's going to probably say? I don't know what he's saying. I'm just guessing now. You here, didn't you? Aren't you? You made it, didn't you? You made it through it, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it evidently worked out for your good. We don't always not have to understand how we're going to do it or which way we got to go through it, but know that God said it's going to work out for your good if you love the Lord and you are the called according to his purpose. And then finally, God gives us peace through assurance that he is with us. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. No, we always know, we always quote them and saying that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And then when you think about God, Jesus being on that ship in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, he was on the ship with the disciples and a storm came up. They got all afraid. They got all bent out of shape and went down and woke Jesus up. Do you not care about it? We're getting ready to die. Jesus, I can imagine Jesus. He has to have a sense of humor, man. Jesus, oh, yeah, a little faith. He just walked up there just as cool and calm as he wanted to be. I can just see it now.
stepped out on that boat and said, "Peace, be still." And then all the winds and waves, everything just returned back to normal. And can you imagine him looking at us just like he did his disciples that day? What happened? What did you doubt me? Think about all the things that God has brought us through. All the way from the very presence of our existence to where we are now. I don't know everything that you've been through. You don't know everything, but I guarantee you we've all had storms. And sometimes it was storm after the storm after storm after. It seemed like before you even got out of one storm, here comes another one. Dead smack in your face. But guess what? We made it. And glory to God. Nobody but God. God comforted us through everything that we've gone through. And he's not done. He's not finished. He's not finished, man. The best is yet to come. All we got to do is just hold on. Hold on and don't give up. It's going to get tough. It's going to get rough sometimes. But hold on. Since we know that God is an active presence in our lives, we need to trust him. Hebrews 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse number 6, the Bible says, so without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Since we know that giving comfort is relational in nature, we need to be able to help and encourage one another as God has helped us. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Real quick, Romans chapter 12 and verses number 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10. And we see that we have a relational nature in being able to comfort one another. Romans chapter number 12. And let's look at verse number 9 and then verse 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Watch this. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. I gotta go to my seat, but I have to say this, and this is going to be the end of that. But let me say this. A lot of times we have problems because we want everything. It's all about me, myself, and I. But God said, God's word said, that we should prefer one another in love. We should think about one another other than ourselves. It's not always about us. Don't all, have you ever known somebody that makes everything about them? You can be telling them about your problems, and then here they are in the midst of listening to you. Well, child, let me tell you what I'm going. Wait a minute, man. You just asked me how I was doing. I'm trying to tell you what's going on with me. Here you are telling me about your. I understand we all go through things. But guess what? God is always there to listen to us. And he'll never tell anybody else about the things that we're going through. We need to try to mimic him. Because sometimes we don't mean it. We get to talking with somebody. And let me tell you what Brother Jerry told me that he dealing. Wait a minute. Brother Jerry told you in confidence. We got to be careful, church. That's a sin, you know. I'm done. But maybe we have been through some things. And in life, we can always go through things. But God has a plan. You can be comforted. Outside of God, outside of Christ, there's no comfort. You can come to Christ today by hearing his word. Romans 10:17. So then faith come by hearing by the word of God. Believe what you heard. Jesus said, if you believe not that I'm he, where I am, you cannot come. Then you must be willing to repent of your sins. Acts 17:30. The Bible says, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Then you must be willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Meaning that we have to say that Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. then we must be willing to be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. You know, some people say you can be baptized if you want to be baptized, and or they may put out baptism for another couple of weeks, but who's to say we're going to make it? The Bible says, and the same day in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and following, the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. After they heard the word of God, the same day they were baptized. You don't have to wait. We can do it right now. If you need to respond, you need the church to pray for you, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you. Whatever your need be, let it be known right now as we together stand and sing our invitation song.